So we're beginning to read from the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, entitled Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. Arjuna Vacha. It will be difficult, I think. I'll chant along. Prakritam purusham caiva kshetram kshetrajam eva cha etat viritam icchati jnanam jnayam cha keshava. Shri Bhagavan uvacha itam sariram kunteya kshetram iti avidiyate etat yuvititam praho kshetragya iti tatvida. Arjuna said, O my dear Krishna, I wish to know about Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer, and the field, and the knower of the field of knowledge, and the object of knowledge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This body, O son of Kunti, is called the field, and one who knows this body is called the knower of the field. Text number 3. O sign of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies, and to understand this body and a knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion. So, here the body is compared to a field, the field of activities. And the Gita is speaking about the knower of the field. And who is the knower of the field is the question that is being asked. The answer that Krishna gives is that he says that I am also the knower of the field. Because the obvious answer is, well, anybody would say, well, if the body is the field, I am the knower of the field, I'm in this body. But Krishna says, yes, but I am also the knower of the field. In short, there are two knowers of the field. One is Krishna, and the other one are we ourselves. So, then it is explained that just sometimes in this world you also have a field where you grow things, and there are two knowers of the field, and it says one is the proprietor of the field and the other one is the cultivator. So in relation to the body, Krishna is the proprietor and we are the cultivator. That is Bhagavad Gita. Well, that is a huge adjustment in one's mental state. If we say Krishna is the proprietor and we are the cultivator, it's a whole different thing. Imagine you are the proprietor of a field and someone is working on it for you. You don't mind if he takes something from the field. He takes a few bags of grain, that's okay. You won't say anything. But when he starts taking truckloads, then, you know, it gets serious. So, this is how it is in this world. If Krishna is the proprietor of the field and we are the cultivator, it means that we may take what we need for our own maintenance, but the rest belongs to Krishna. And thus, actually, everything in this world is owned by Krishna and therefore should be used for his purposes. Of course, we should take care of ourselves and keep ourselves fit and in good condition so that we can function, but then beyond it, everything goes for Krishna and to Krishna. That's not modern. That's not what modern times are all about. In modern times, things have changed a lot. In the traditional times, there used to be kings, they were living in palaces, and ordinary people lived in small cottages. They were simple. But as time developed, we got a modern society. And in the modern society, everyone can be king and queen. Everyone. That's the wonderful thing, yes. Any ordinary person can also have a palace. Oh, yes. And you want a coach in front of the door? Yes, yes. How many horsepower does your coach has? Everyone is driving around in fancy cars. Everyone has a palace. And what are you having for breakfast this morning, Your Majesty? would you have some mango juice imported from Africa, or would you rather have some fruits flown in from South America? Would you prefer some knäckebröd from Sweden, or would you rather have your cheese straight from South Africa? What would you like this morning?
Is that all you have?
Oh dear.
No.
We have fresh orange juice, and we have fresh biological dynamical milk straight from the cow. Yes, these things also. We get that every day. You don't have anything special. Well, to tell you the truth, we have some mangoes flown straight in from Bombay. We'll have some of those. Okay. And in this way, we are living in royal opulence, cupboards full of clothes, fridges full of food. We throw out all the extras that we don't need. I remember in the mid-80s, I was staying in this temple, and sometimes in the cool room, there used to be big bins full of halva left over. No one would touch them, said, because cold halva, no one in Melbourne Temple eats cold halva, we eat only hot halva, and is there any sauce on top, some runny custard, otherwise we don't take it, so we are living in this modern world. So many things we have, and we are accustomed to it, and this is now normal. Everyone lives as king. That's it. Yeah, we see that in I am from Europe, and in Europe they have many ships, and you have these old sailing ships, and sometimes you can have a look inside, and it's really rough inside. Rough. Right? No comfort at all. So it used to be like that. People were simple. So in modern times, we have forgotten what simplicity is all about, and why simplicity. But personally, I had some practical experience of it in my days of being in Vrindavan. Actually, at one point, I was the temple president of our temple there, and it was a very big temple, much bigger than this one. So I never had a peaceful moment. And Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, made a rule, and the rule was the president has to sign on every check that goes out of the temple. Oh, a lot of checks, every day, lots of them. So they would come all the time, excuse me, can you sign this check, please, can you sign this check? And sometimes I was in the shower, they would knock on the door and say, please, open up, can you sign this check? I go, my hand is wet. They said, we have a towel. And I said, somehow or other, they would try to make me sign the checks. So I would escape the office and go to Govardhan, not far, 20 kilometers from the temple, the hill that was lifted by Krishna. And then I thought, today I'll have a spiritual day. And then I would meet people there and say, oh, I've been looking for you all week, can you sign this check? It's too much. I was thinking, my life is just totally spoiled. So one day I decided, okay, today I will go for a walk into the fields. No one will find me there. And it was true, I had a great time, I was walking in the fields and everything was very nice. And then I met one farmer there, kind of a simple man. He says, you see this land? I said, yes, I see. He said, it is my land. I said, oh, very nice. He says, yes. And the crop that is growing on this land, yes, it is the best crop. So I thought, this man is a little childish, just like a child. You see my bicycle, this is best. And then you say it. So I got in the same mood. Really? Is this your crop? Oh, really nice, huh? So I'm just treating him like a child. And he said, yes, you know, I come here every day. I said, really? You come here every day? He said, yes, I come here every day for 1 hour. I said, yes, really? You come here every day for 1 hour? He said, yes. And then I go home, and then I do puja. And I thought, this man is not so childish. He works 1 hour a day, and the rest of the day he's doing puja. And me, I spend my whole day signing checks and whatnot. I said, yes, probably house means a simple little two rooms at the most. He probably has 7 children, and they help in the puja. And like that, simple life, very simple life. But actually, he has time for spiritual life. And I live in such a big establishment, and life is so complex. This is the nature of modern times. We thought we improved life, but actually, life has become more complicated. In the late 70s in Vrindavan, in our temple, a very big establishment, we had one telephone, one. And you don't believe it, but sometimes it would ring, and we would pick it up, and we'd go, hello! Hello! And on the other side also, you could hear, hello! Hello! That was all. And you could try to make a local call, but it was difficult. Noises like this. And then if you wanted to make long distance call, trunk call, you had to book it with the operator. Zero, operator, yes, trunk call booking, yes, okay. Call you back in half an hour, yes. And then they still didn't call you back. And so you had to call them back and take hours, and sorry, you couldn't get the line. Then there was only one way to get the line, a lightning call. Very expensive, lightning call. And then you get 3 minutes. Hello, yes, hello! Screaming in the phone. And that was our communication. So we gave up on the phone. We never used it. We had one, but we never used it. And mail, it would arrive 6 months late, so you didn't bother with that also. Completely cut off from communication. No phone, no mail. I can tell you, it was the best time of my life. The best time of my life. When life was very simple, I had no distraction, and it was all about Krishna. Nowadays, everybody has a phone, wherever they are, and they're always ringing you, or SMSing you, or emailing you, or blackberrying you, or... And when you think, I have nothing to do with this, haha. I don't play the game, I just won't have a phone. They will still find you, they'll call you on the phone of somebody else. I was walking in London with a few devotees, I didn't know any of them. And suddenly somebody rings from another country, and the call is for me. I don't know how they did it, but the call was for me. I said, this is too much. And in the name of progress, they're spoiling my whole life, actually. Are you also finding, actually, if you think about it? Previously, in Vedic times, people would keep a cow, and they would milk the cow in the morning. It's quite nice, right? It's early morning, milk your own cow, fresh milk. That's the way to live, actually, if you think about it. It's a lot better than walk to the fridge and, warm it up in the microwave and whatnot. Bing! Breakfast! That is modern time. Can I cook something for you? Well, okay, yeah, sure. And they go into the kitchen. Bing! Cooking's in it. Sounds like a car workshop. Modern times. What world are we living in? We're living in a world where we've forgotten who's the proprietor. Where we've forgotten what is the purpose of the world. Where we have forgotten that everything is actually meant for Krishna. And the result is that in the name of progress, we have less and less. In traditional India, Mataji, the ladies would wear golden bangles. nowadays, plastic. Nowadays, maybe some have still real gold, I don't know. But so many have just plastic, right? Everything plastic. Previously, in the winter, real wool sweater from sheep, Australia, you know, real wool, Aussie wool, Australia, right? Nowadays, you know, who would touch wool, right, you know? Fleece, right? Fleece you gotta have, you know, you can't wear wool, can you? Forget, you gotta have fleece, yeah. Improved quality. And what is it? It is just plastic, actually. Plastic clothes, plastic food, plastic surgery, plastic nose, yeah, plastic teeth, you know, or plastic hearts, you know, yes. And that's our life. We live in a plastic world. And the plastic garbage island in front of New York is growing with a kilometer every year, getting bigger and bigger. Yes. In the future we can live there. Plastic country, yes, really nice. So this is the nature of modern times, everything so artificial. And I went to a program, preaching program somewhere outside, nice. I was staying with some people in their house, and I came home in the evening, and the television was on, and it was all about genetic engineering. A terrible program. Showing what they do to animals, keep them in boxes and give them hormones, and they grow into mountains of flesh, right, with tiny little legs, really demoniac stuff. I was watching this and I go, this is too much. And then they showed the part that even shocked me more, because I'm a vegetarian, and then they show how they were messing around with the vegetables as well. And those big potatoes, the ones that don't spoil, pig genes. Tomatoes, they have them with scorpion genes. That gives them that little sting. So that night I slept and I had a terrible dream. A terrible dream. In my dream I was going into the supermarket, and when I came in the supermarket there were some cabbages and they had faces. And they were singing, take us home, we're all alone, take us home, we're all alone. And I woke up sweating and I thought, this is too much. This is what they want. Give it a few more years and it will be real. So, what kind of world are we living in? You may think I'm making up stories now and dreams, but I'm telling you that I read a scientific journal. And in that scientific journal there was an article about a bath mat that had microorganisms as part of the bath mat, and those microorganisms were living on soapy water. So a very good bath mat, you know, like you just have someone takes a shower and leaves some soapy water on the floor and the bath mat automatically drinks it all. It's good, huh? You don't have to wipe the floor anymore, the mat eats it. Some call it a mat and others say it's a pet. Some ladies are going and give it some soapy water. It likes it so much. Huh? Yes? So, what are we doing? And man is all powerful. In America, the most powerful country in the world, we are doing the impossible. We are building the highest buildings in the world. Why are they doing that? Is it because they don't have any land? No, that's not the problem. It's because they have lots of land, actually, in America, a lot of vacant land. So they could build the cities and spread them out a little more. They don't need to go so high. But then why are they going so high? They're going so high because they want to prove that they can build a building which is so high that it should fall over. And it doesn't fall over. Just see, America, United States, getting in, Yankee Doodle, and whatnot. Yes, of course, mind you, sometimes they do come down, as we know, as we have seen on television. I don't know where you were,
I was in Zurich in a temple, and there was a room, and suddenly someone said, "Big terrorism in America," and within moments we had a television. I don't know where it came from, but it was there, and we were all watching, and then I saw the buildings crash down. So what to say? That is the nature of the material world. What goes up must come down. Just as my father used to say, "Son, on the way up, be nice to the people, because on the way back down, you'll meet them again." Right? Yes, that's the way it is in this material world. What goes up must come down. Because by nature, we don't belong up. That's not our constitutional position. I am king. Which number? Which number are you? If a king has a number, it means that there are lots of them. Otherwise, you don't need a number. It means that the king is not king for very long. One thing I hated in school was learning history lessons, and this one ruled for this 10 years, and that one ruled for those 10 years. And, oh God, this is too much. I hated that. Yes. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad, there is one chapter called the Bhumi Gita, the song of the earth. So the earth is singing its song, and in that song the earth is saying, "So many men have come to possess me, but all that remains of them is names." That's Bhumi Gita. So this is a fact. And we are not any different. We have our little block of land and put our little picket fence and our name tag at the gate, and it's our home. And we have a dog, and we say, "No junk mail in the mailbox, only Australia Post," etc., because this is my home, if you know what I mean, you know, when you just can't come in my home if I don't want you. Yeah, this is my place, you know, yeah, just that you, I'm king here. Yes, everybody wants to be king. There was a man, and his name was Jones, and his official job was, in English you say gopher, in Hindi you call him peon. So he was a peon or a gopher. So the peon or the gopher, he is just everybody's servant in the whole company, and the whole company just sends him around, "Go and bring this paper to such and such right away," and come straight back, "Go get a cup of tea, I forgot my this and this in the car, go and bring it." A gopher, Jones, and his name was Jones. "Yes, boss." "Jones, come here." "Yes, boss." "Jones, go and bring mine." "Yes, boss." "Jones, do you have any brain?" "No, boss." "Jones, Jones, you're useless." "Yes, boss." And like this, the whole day Jones was going to it. Then Jones would come home, and at home he would have an armchair, and then he'd have a dog, and he'd call his dog. Do you know the name of the dog? No, the dog, Jones, that's it. The dog was called Jones, and then he would call, "Jones, come here." And the dog would come, and then he'd say to the dog, "Jones, sit up." And then with his foot, he'd push him over, and the dog would fall over. And then he said, "Jones, you have any brains?" And like this. Everybody is king somewhere. Everyone wants to be king somewhere. A famous writer of the literal history was Dante in Europe. And Dante, he wrote something, and it was as follows. "Better a king in hell than a servant in heaven." That's exactly what we're doing here. Oh yes, we are here to be king and queen, and in royalty we shall live, and we shall lord it over. Oh yes, my lord. And how are you today? Yes, 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 you are a customer. Welcome, my lord. Have a seat. Did you bring your table? Your credit card? Welcome, my lord. Yes, my lords, my ladies, my lords. Yes, please pay here. No, cash, dollar. Welcome, welcome. You are our customer, king and queen, most welcome. Everyone is in this world to enjoy and to be king. Yes, now I am king. In India, an ordinary man, king in Australia. 5 years austerity, and then you can laugh at all those suckers who stayed back home when you've made it big. Haha. Yes, Australia, 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 how I love you. Like this. And we, in Aussie, have heavy immigration policies. We're not going to let anybody in. No way, forget it, you know. This is our country, and, you know, we've got it good here. You know, no worries. And we're going to keep it like that, right? We don't let anybody in unless he's highly qualified. Do you have the papers, right? If you don't, forget it. You're not coming in. Out, out, out. In this way, we are all keeping our kingdoms in this world, where we can be important and we can be the center and we can enjoy it and everything is for us. And we forgot the essence of life. We forgot the one little thing, that we are not the proprietor. That Krishna is the proprietor of the field, and that we are the cultivator of the field. Gosh, we forgot all about that. But that's the reality, actually. So, Bhagavad Gita reminds us that if we take that up, and we are dedicating our life to Krishna, and for example, we build a big, big house, and in the house we give the best room to Krishna. Then the quality of our life improves a lot. A lot. And if instead of just eating and eating and cooking and stuffing ourselves and growing more and more fat every day, and fighting not with the calories, if instead of that we must make nice offerings for Krishna, then suddenly everything starts to make sense. When I first came to the Hare Krishna temple, it was close to Jamashtami, and on Jamashtami they were all fasting, and at the same time they were cooking, and I couldn't get it. What kind of people are these? They're fasting the whole day and they're cooking at the same time the whole day, and this is crazy. I couldn't get it. But later I understood, no, they're not cooking for our own pleasure, they're cooking for the pleasure of Krishna. Yes, that's simply a simple formula. The pleasure of Krishna. Chant for the pleasure of Krishna. Not for our own pleasure, no, for the pleasure of Krishna. Suddenly it changes. Oh, I'm chanting my japa now, but I'm not feeling so happy. That's because you're chanting for your own pleasure. But if you would chant for the pleasure of Krishna, then first of all you would stop murmuring. How can you offer that to Krishna? That's not very pleasing. You have to offer him something a little better. So pronounce it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Not so mechanical. A little more juice. Why not? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It doesn't have to be like a machine. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be dry. But we make it ourselves. Oh no, I'm not supposed to enjoy spiritual life now. Only Hare, only Krishna. Nothing else. No, everything is alright. Use it for Krishna. Use your abilities, use your talents, use your nature, develop it, be who you are. You're artistic? Oh, good. Do it for Krishna. You want to act? Yes, you can act for Krishna.
Hey Arjun!
Like this, you can be one of the Pandavas. No problem. Everything possible. So So there is a way that we can develop our personality in the service of Krishna. Give you an example. There were two friends, they were from Scotland.
Scotland they were. And they came to Australia. Yes, they came to the New World. And because they wanted some adventure, they joined the fire brigade. Yes.
So it's not as adventurous as you think, because most of the time it's the kitchen curtain that catches fire and it's already out when you come, or there's an old lady that called because there's a cat in the tree or something like that. But sometimes, of course, there is a real fire, a little bush fire or something, yes. It happens. So there's fun sometimes. Anyway, so they were both in the fire brigade and well, they developed a bit of a routine. They would, but then one of the two became involved with the Hare Krishnas. And he got really into it. He liked it, so his friend, you know, got worried. He said, "Jock, don't do it. Jock, don't do it. Don't just give up everything, you know. Don't give up everything and join the Haris. No, don't do that," he said to his friend. And then, but he did it anyway. And he was still working for a short while in the fire brigade with shaved head and everything as a monk. But, you know, they didn't have a replacement. And then he said goodbye and he joined the Hare Krishnas. Didn't see his friend for 25 years. After 25 years, they met each other. "You son of a gun," and whatever Scottish people say to each other, and slapping each other on the back, and "I didn't see you for ages," and "Oh, you're doing it." And then he says, "So, you still with the fire brigade?" "Yes, still with the fire brigade." "Still going to the same pub?" "Yes, still going to the same pub." "Still sitting on the same corner of the bar?" "Yes, still sitting on the same corner of the bar." "And you, now that you joined the Hare Krishnas, what did you do?" He said, "Oh, I went all over the world. I've been on TV many times. I climbed the Himalayas and went to the source of the Ganga. I have given many speaking engagements in universities and was often quoted in newspaper. I wrote a few books and in between I have also learned how to cook. I've run a restaurant. I have, you know," that's a typical Hare Krishna story. So, who, 25 years earlier, his friend said, "How can you give everything up?" Did he give everything up? No, he didn't give everything up. Rather, the opposite, he developed himself and he started doing all kinds of things that he would have never done. Because that's how it is in the Hare Krishna movement. And the principle of it is called surrender, Prabhu. "Can you cook?" "No. Oh, it's easy. We'll show you. You know, you just put some water on the fire and you throw in some rice and dal and stir it a bit, and 20 minutes later you turn it down and then throw in the chons and you've got khichdi. Easy." 3 days later, you're in charge of the kitchen. And that's how it goes. Surrender, Prabhu. Well, I experienced it also. I came to New York and I just arrived and they said, "Can you drive?" I said, "Yes, I can." I said, "Oh good, we need a driver." And they took me around the corner to the car. I had the keys in my hand and it was a truck. A huge big yellow truck with a flatbed. I don't have a license, but anyway, I drove it. And then, you know, on the back there was a Harinam party. Right? Big, and I had to drive through the city of New York with that. I was shaking my head and said, "I mean, even if they would have paid me, I would have never done this in my life. Why am I doing this?" But in this movement, you just can't say no. Every time you say no, somebody says, "Surrender, Prabhu." Just surrender for Krishna, you know. And in this way, you step out of the box, as they say, out of the square. You start to do things that you would have never done. And thus, you develop sides of your personalities that you didn't even know you had. "I didn't know I could drive big yellow trucks, but I can. Now I know." In this way, Krishna makes the impossible
possible. And that's what Srila Prabhupada taught us. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And thus, in the service of Krishna, everything becomes possible. You don't believe it? Krishna will help you. I will carry what you lack and preserve what you have. That's what Krishna says. Thus, we know that sometimes they say, what's it like to live in a monastery? I say, I wouldn't have any idea, mate. I mean, no idea, right, what it would be like. Because whatever the Hare Krishna movement is, it's not a monastery. That I can tell you for sure, you know. Never a dull moment. Anything can happen in the temple at any moment, you know. We have all kinds of people. So what shall I say? That is the nature of a movement of devotees who somehow or other come together from all over the world, from different cultures, but somehow or other they all find Krishna, because within everyone, regardless where they are from, whether it is from China, from Russia, from America, from Europe, from Italy, or from Australia, it doesn't matter, because in the heart of everyone is the same Supreme Lord, and if everyone and anyone can be a devotee, and you never know. You never know who will be interested. I was here in Australia going door to door, and then one day I had Bhagavad Gita's, and then someone opened the door and said, what do you want? A huge man, right? Very aggressive. What do you want? So I scared him. And so he just grabs the Bhagavad Gita out of my hand, you know, he pulls something, a $20 note out of his pocket, and sort of throws it at me. He said, get out of here! He took a Gita. He was a devotee. He was a devotee. Although you wouldn't think he was, but he was. Thus, you know, you never know who the devotees are. Devotees are everywhere. Some devotees look like gorillas, but even gorillas can become devotees, because there is no consideration for any caste, creed, or anything like that. Anyone who is ready to surrender is welcome. Okay, thank you for listening to this talk. It went all over the place, but it has an underlying theme. I think you noticed it. A theme of putting Krishna in the center. A theme of stepping down from our false throne. A theme of placing Krishna on the throne. And then surrender. Simply surrender. And that is the meaning of this verse in Bhagavad Gita. And that is the meaning of life. And if we can just do that, put Krishna on the throne instead of ourselves, and everything suddenly becomes lots of fun. Thank you very much. Any questions, any comments? No? Okay, then we are finished quick. Alright, thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing you some other time. Tomorrow morning I'll give one class here at 7:30 for those who have time and are interested. Most welcome to come. And then I'll see you next visit. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.